Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today is Monday. It is a Monday. I hope you made it through the weekend safe and sound, didn't get caught up by any of the slave catchers out there. Besides what they say about this being a land of liberty and freedom, that's not true. You can't say that and have the world's largest private prison population, or just prison population. I don't know why I keep throwing private in there. Oh man. So welcome to today's broadcast. Today's date is November 28th, 2016. Just two more days left in this month, and we will be entering into the final month of this calendar year. So many things have happened this year. I mean, wow, if you could just look in different people activity areas, there have been some major things that have happened in 2016. And unfortunately, one of the major things that happened over the weekend, yesterday we got news of the passing of Cuba's revolutionary leader Fidel Castro. And there's been a lot of mixed responses from different sources, if you will. None of it surprising to me, to be expected, but I was just looking over some of the responses from corporate media, the type of headlines they were choosing, many of them inappropriate, the things that CEO of USA Inc. elect Donald Trump has said, threatening to unravel the normalization process with Cuba. Just a disgusting man. Lots of disgusting comments coming out of Florida. That was to be expected, especially in Miami, where at hearing the news with the rest of the world that this revolutionary icon, this man whose single life had impact upon millions of people around the globe, not just in Cuba, and for a small tiny island nation like that to do all that it did and play the role that it played in so many independence movements around the planet. But these disgusting people down there in Miami were dancing and holding parties after hearing the news of the passing of Fidel Castro. Just really disgusting people. President Obama, I think, as CEO, the current CEO of USA Inc., he made some appropriate comments as a head of state would, devoid of any kind of emotionalism or anything. Just being decent and recognizing that this man was loved by millions, regardless of what your political beliefs are, regardless of you know, what type of government model you think you like, regardless of all of that. Just being decent. So this is, well, I guess I can say I'm not a decent person by the same standard, because when I heard the passing of Ronald Reagan, I think I was doing radio. When did Ronald Reagan kick the bucket? And they had him lying in state. I remember a lot of racist suspects of the right-wing conservative variety giving their tearful responses to this person who played a role in the mass murder of who knows how many people in South America, the underhanded things that he was doing. We can't forget the expansion of private prisons under him, under his administration and what have you. And I mean, on the day that I heard that he died, while I wasn't on here throwing a party, or I didn't have a party, or I didn't attend a party at hearing the news of his death, I did speak honestly about what I felt about that man. And it was all based on facts. It wasn't based on any media perceptions, media created perceptions. Oh, he was an evil dictator, or blah, 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 blah. Said the same thing about Saddam. Now we hear those same people saying, oh, it was a mistake to take out Saddam. Now, you know, before there was no suicide bombings in Iraq. Now they've had hundreds. Or they're missing Gaddafi. Oh, he was a brutal dictator. But, oh, look what has happened in his wake. And that, as if to say, every president or whoever ever has worn the title of CEO of USA Inc. has not been engaged in their own brutality and what have you. So there's a lot of cognitive dissonance going on. Some of it, I will blame it on ignorance, because a lot of people don't read. Like a lot of these racist suspects, they don't understand why, not just here in the United States in the black community, but in Africa as well, or why this man is respected and well-liked. They just don't understand it. Or they don't want to understand it, because then that will force them to acknowledge their racism, and they don't want to do that. I don't know why. They might as well just acknowledge it. I mean, they, what bigger acknowledgement that the vast majority in this people are racist than the election of Donald Trump? So today will just basically be an open news day, but I will be relaying information and providing you commentary in regards to the passing of Fidel Castro. As many people in the black community do not know the role this man played in the black liberation movement. Many of them don't. They know that he gave refuge to Assata Shakur fleeing the racist terrorist police forces of USA Inc. and gave her asylum, political asylum. And guess what? She wasn't accused of blowing up no airliners, killing hundreds of people, including a bunch of kids, like that ex-Cuban, because they are not Cubans anymore. Many of them are born here in America or have accepted citizenship in USA Inc. So they're not even Cubans. Let's stop calling them Cubans, because they're not. Many of them was just born here, and they're just spewing that program, and their racist parents who fled Cuba after the revolution. They're just repeating what their racist parents have said to them. So, yeah, if you have any thoughts today that you would like to share, I will during the first half hour or so. Just go over some news items of the day. There are some newsworthy things that I need to share with you, including a possible chemical attack on the chemical weapons attack on the water defenders at Standing Rock in Sioux. I think that's, I don't want to say Sioux Falls. Is it in Sioux Falls? I know it's in South Dakota. But you have water defenders who have been protecting their indigenous property rights, water rights, and what have you, not just for themselves, but for everyone who will be using that as a source of drinking water, and blocking the construction of this oil pipeline on disputed lands. They're saying, calling it federal lands, but all federal lands mean, when somebody say that, just think stolen. That's all you got to think. It's stolen lands. If they say it's federal land, it's stolen land. But again, we can't help but point out, in contrast, what you saw happen in, where was that, Oregon, where you had the Bundy clan, bunch of racist suspects, occupy a building that was reportedly owned by the Bureau, federal government, Land Management Bureau, but also these indigenous Native Americans that live in that area said that's their land. That's their land. So we did not see a chemical attack. We saw one of them get gunned down, but they gave him every opportunity to give up. He jumped out the car, made furtive movements, and he got shot. Now, I'm not justifying the way he was shot. I didn't see a gun or anything, but it was reported he had a gun in his pocket. I think that guy's name was Roy Fulcom or something like that. They got gunned down after they ran roadblocks. But for the rest of them that was occupying that building in Oregon in federal line, they did not drop or spray them with chemical weapons. They did not bring out the water hoses and just tried to flood them out, you know, similar what they did to the Move family in Philadelphia in 1985, the fire department participating in that terrorist act. But we do have a field report from a person out there. I want to share that. And there is other news that we have shared with you in BTR Community, that is the social media platform for our radio station, BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. But you can access the social media platform by going to BTRCommunity.com. So there's a number of stories that I would like to share. But before I get to some of these stories, let me make sure I give out the telephone number in case anybody wants to share some comments, participate in today's broadcast. Those telephone numbers are, I just memorized one. There's a couple, but I've only memorized one. That number is 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. Anytime you want to ask a question, make a comment, hit **. I'm going to replace that audio when you join our conferencing system to give these instructions. But we're with a new conference system now. So that is how you unmute yourself and signal me, is by hitting **. So let me get that number out again. It is 866-510-9025. You can also join us via the web at uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. Before I get started, let's go ahead and take a station identification break, and we'll be back in and go with some of the news that is out there today.
The Black Talk Media Project funds the use of new media technology in efforts to restore independent Black voices to the myriad of issues affecting Afro-descendant people all over the planet. If media can control the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X once said, then you must ask yourself, who is in control of the media targeting the masses of Black people today? Help bring back independence, self-determination, and respect for Black culture in the production of global media by joining the effort to crowdfund new Black media for the new millennium. Visit blacktalkmediaproject.org for more information on how you can invest in public Black radio.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm in on this broadcast from behind these enemy lines, streaming out to the world from the Black Talk Radio Network, providing you with new Black media for the new millennium. Let's get into some of the news of the day. So a listener of Black Talk Radio sent me a video clip via social media. I had not seen this, And so I went ahead and uploaded it to our YouTube channel. If you're on YouTube, if you go to their search engine, type in Black Talk Radio or Black Talk Media, you should be able to find our channel. But so I uploaded it to our channel and I distributed it. And the reason I'm telling you this is it's just a comment that was left that just really disgusts me, man. It's just really disgusting the way that some people think. And I'm not saying, I mean, at the end of the day, we are responsible for our own actions and what have you. But again, like Malcolm says, don't blame people or condemn people because they don't know what you know, because you didn't always know what you know. And sometimes, you know, we will never come to see eye to eye to these things. But if you have these thoughts, sometimes it's best to keep certain things to yourself. And I'll explain later. I'm sorry. Let me go ahead and pull up this video. This is a report from one of the water defenders, as they have been described. Let me go ahead and get this audio adjusted. And she is reporting that chemical weapons are being used against the Standing Rock water defenders who have an encampment out there on the land, where they are attempting to continue to build this oil pipeline. So this is, she'll state her name.
My name is Candida Rodriguez Kingbird. I am Red Lake Anishinaabe Ojibwe. I'm here today is recording from Standing Rock, North Dakota. Today is November 14, 2016. New developments. We have had aircraft flying over our camp for several days, different kinds of small charter planes and what looks appears to be helicopters. I mean, coming through at night. They mostly come at night and they have their lights off, which is dangerous to other aircraft. They're using the space illegally. They don't have any permits or permission to be using the airspace above federal tribal land, so they're breaking the law to begin with. Last night, the new development was that there was an aircraft flying over camp, our encampment, from approximately 1:40 a.m. till about 2:20 a.m. this morning. Every 2 minutes on the dot, they were encircling the circumference of our camp and doing what we believe to be spraying chemical agents down on top of us. This is an act of chemical warfare. This is an act of terrorism in the United States by the United States government against the indigenous peoples of Standing Rock and of this encampment. They are not reaching out to the sides where the police department has set up their barriers and their blockades, so we know that they are strategically placing these chemicals on top of us. This morning at 5:30 we came out because we heard the same aircraft passing overhead. It was verified to be a crop duster, and on the underbelly side of it, under each wing, there were two hoses which they use to spray down agriculture and poisons on top of different harvests that they're growing and stuff like that. So this is an act of terrorism. We're not going to stop. We're going to keep fighting for the people. We're going to keep fighting for the rights. These resources belong to our children. This water belongs to our children. This is our future. These kids need this land. They need this water. They need these resources, and they need us to stand and fight and protect them. Don't put this on Facebook. They'll take it back off again. But do share this with family. Talk to your family about this. Talk to your friends about this. Spread the news out there. Let them know this is an act of genocide from the U.S. government. This is a terroristic attack. Power to the people, man. We're not going to stop. Stay up.
Okay. All right. Let me cancel this so it doesn't start another video. So as I was listening to her give her report, I was just reminded of the same reports that we had read about the attack on Tulsa, Oklahoma, quote unquote, Black Wall Street, about them using crop dusters to drop kerosene bombs on people's homes and businesses. Bunch of jealous racist crackers just looking for a reason to do what they do. Seem to be in their nature to just be at war with everyone and want in peace. They don't know the meaning of the word peace. But it just reminded me of that. You had people back during that attack using crop dusters to drop bombs. When we were talking about last week in our interview, I believe it was Friday, our interview with the radical activist out of NYC, Sophia Williams. We were talking about Pam Africa's upcoming interview with the Activist Studios, I believe. I can't recall the name exactly, but inside the Activist Studio, yeah, I think that's what it was called. But she's going to be interviewed by them and going to tell her story as the sole adult survivor of the attack on the Move Family Home, Move Organization of Family Compound in Philadelphia. And the helicopters, she mentioned helicopters buzzing them, flying above their encampment, spraying stuff on them. When I listened to her the first time, I got a visualization of that helicopter in Philadelphia dropping that federal government FBI supplied C4 bomb on the roof of this home that you knew women and children were in. So anybody that wants to talk about how great America ever was, well, that depends on your perspective and how you're looking at U.S. history. You looking at it from the victim's point of view, or are you looking at it from the psychopathic murderer's point of view? This is the comment, one of the comments. I'm assuming this is a black person, but I don't know. This person wrote that there's a problem, sad situation indeed, but where are the Native American voices when black men, women, and children are being gunned down in the streets? Also, where were their voices during Flint or Katrina? Another thing, what about those 1866 treaties? We are old money and land. So, this isn't the first time I've gotten ignorant comments like that or emails or anything. When I report on any system any acts of injustice, any crimes against non-white people, even if I point out a white person being murdered by slave catchers or being murdered by prison plantation overseers, I've had people, oh, those are white people, they not black. Why are you reporting on that, this, and the other? Just disgusting comments, man. I don't know. I just don't know how to respond to these people. Try to be in a codified manner, but these are obviously not codified people. They not interested in justice for all. They might say that when they advocating for black people, they say, and for justice for all, we want justice. Well, justice requires, according to Mr. Neely Fuller, and I happen to agree with his definition of justice, a system of justice, or if we had justice on this planet, would look like where no one is being mistreated. And everyone who needs help gets help, regardless of racial classifications put in place by a bunch of racist crackers from England practicing slavery. That's just plain ignorance. And then I have interviewed a number of indigenous activists over the years on Black Talk Radio Network coming on to talk about these very issues. I watched it, not all of it, but the latest Million Man March that Minister Louis Farrakhan had called it Justice or Else. There were indigenous Native Americans who took to that stage to express their solidarity with the struggles of black people and saying it's one struggle. It's the same racist cracker who is stealing all our land, poisoning all our air, poisoning all our water, enslaving us, shooting us down. I had on a mother whose son, an 18-year-old indigenous boy out there in Oklahoma, he had some kind of, I forget what he had going on, some kind of mental disorder or brain disorder, and how the slave catchers just bust into the trailer. She called them by mistake to get help with him because he was having an episode. We see it play out time and time again in the black community. Call these people for help, they come and kill. I've seen some videos where it's happened to a few white people, but not as many as non-white people. And her family is being assisted by who? The NAACP. You got something to say to the NAACP for going after slave catchers, regardless of who their victims was? See, I don't think like racists. I don't think like crackers. I mean, sometimes I do, but that's only when I'm trying to get inside their heads to come up with a counter strategy, where I'm trying to think like a racist to beat a racist. But from what I can tell, this person who has a problem with Black Talk Radio News, because this is under the Black Talk Radio News feed, reporting on racist crackers, corporate terrorists attacking non-white people with chemical warfare. It doesn't think I should be reporting on that. Well, then you go report on it. Where's your news channel? Where is your radio program? Where is your blog? Then you don't have to worry about our operations because you have your own operations to worry about. I'm so tired of people and their ignorance, man. It's just no, it's again, I'm not condemning people for their ignorance, but it gets tiring. It really does. See, I know this person ain't codified or else they'd be viewing this as victims of white supremacy. So it just, you know, then we be asking, and I say we as a people, we be whining and complaining about it ain't enough black people reporting on black news on white people's platform. That would be insane. Why would suspected racists do that? So we are a news outlet. We report all the news. If I see racism being practiced, I'm a report on it. People had a problem when we were covering the assault on the defenseless citizens living in Gaza, the Palestinians. Here they come. Here come these haters. Why do you care about the Palestinians and the Arabs did this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 blah? Like Dr. King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. I don't want to see anyone be mistreated. And I pay taxes for basically all my adult life. I don't like the fact that they take money from me and then use that money to practice racism and white supremacy all over the planet. I'm not going to close my eyes to women and children being gunned down simply because they ain't the complexion or the same complexion as me. And then secondly, and then, you know, like most people don't know, I am classified in this system as a black person, but I also have indigenous ties to this very land I'm on. And there were many people, if you look in black abolitionist history, as on New Abolitionist Radio, which focuses on 21st century slavery and human trafficking, and we profile abolitionist past that was fighting against slavery, many of them was mixed with indigenous. Paul Coffey, go look up who Paul Coffey was. Very important man. Indigenous mother, formerly enslaved African father, identified as black, was at one time the largest employer of black people in the United States. I'm heavily influenced by Malcolm X. I do believe in the brotherhood of man. That includes women. And I don't want to see anyone mistreated. And if I see the enemy engage in some evil acts, I'm going to shine a spotlight on it. Now, this person has something else to say, but I don't even care what they have to say. But that, don't come at me like that. If you got a problem with what we report on this channel, on this station, on our platform, then build your own damn platform. It's the people that be sitting around, ain't doing nothing, that be complaining about somebody else's work. Where's your work? Show me your works. Let me see. We're coming up on another station identification break. Get into some more news of the day. I'm loving this Colin Kaepernick story and how he dealt with this Miami reporter, as you had the San Francisco 49ers visit the Miami Dolphins in Miami-Dade County, where you have a whole bunch of those racist ex-Cubans. They ain't Cubans. They got kicked out of Cuba. They left Cuba, fled, because they couldn't benefit from racism no more, so they fled. So, of course, you got some of them who have become journalists, or you got journalists who want to play to that crowd. And Colin Kaepernick handled him perfectly. I wonder what Colin Kaepernick took in college. He seems to, like, maybe he took communications or something in college, because he'd be handling these people perfectly. He'd be having the perfect answer. But again, it's knowing history. It's reading. It's being informed. Then you can answer these stupid, silly questions of these racists. So that's the story that I want to share with you. You know, you got Donald Trump out there now talking about a bunch of illegals voting. This dude didn't won, and he's still running his mouth. That's because he don't want the job. And more on that when we come back on the other side. But this man don't want this job. And members of his own party is saying, you need, you know, the Republicans in Wisconsin saying he need to stop putting out that false information. You got some movement in Zimbabwe as we bring you some news from the continent. As we do have an active outreach campaign to our English-speaking brothers and sisters on the continent. But Zimbabwe issued a new banknote, and it's fueling concerns. But I do have to always be cautious of the sources. But we know Zimbabwe has been destabilized financially ever since he started, and I'm speaking of President Mugabe, the land reclamation project that he was running. Racists came over there practicing racism and white supremacy, terrorism, violence, stealing land. And so he like, hey, we taking it back. Go back home to where your ancestors got land at. But we're taking this land back and we're giving it to its rightful owners. Oh, how did the racists who run the world markets react? Who run the financial system, the World Bank and Federal Reserve and the Bank of London and all? Oh, they economic blockade, sort of like what they're doing to Cuba. Punishing the people. For what? For practicing justice. So those are just a few stories. But again, I do want to get to on the second hour to really talk about Fidel Castro. And why, if you are a person who is a pan-Africanist, who believes in black nationalism or black independence, black liberation, there's many different ideologies out there. They're not carbon clone copies of each other, but the goal is the same. liberation of black people from white terrorism and slavery. You should be very respectful to this man. You should be paying your respects to him. And we'll talk about that during the second hour. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I broadcast this program every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. If you are interested in being a guest on the program, just find the program profile page on blacktalkradionetwork.com. It'll say Black Talk Radio News with Scotty Reed. Click on that. Go to my profile. You'll be see a contact form and just submit your information. And I'll get back to you after I review what you're seeing on whether or not I think you'll be appropriate guest for Black Talk Radio News. In some cases, you may be more of an appropriate guest for a different program on the network. But that is the way that you get in touch with us. Like Mr. John DeSantis, if y'all missed that interview last week, the Thibodeau Massacre, they had like a memorial thing going on over the weekend. Please check out that podcast, that very important information documenting the racial terrorism directed at black people in 1887 when they went on work strike. We have to keep digging. This is like another piece of history here in the United States that they have tried to literally bury with a mass grave that is being investigated as we speak. Very important to document this sort of stuff. So we'll be back on the other side. Going to take a message music break. Again, if you have any questions or comment, the way to get in is giving us a call at 866-510-9025. That is 866-910-9025. Hit star to unmute yourself. Watch your background noise by all means. So we'll be back.
Is evil. Well, white supremacy is a system. And what does white supremacy really mean? It just doesn't mean somebody being in charge. No one should care about who's in charge of anything. If the person is not mistreating people, white supremacy is about mistreating people based on what? Based on the color in the skin of those people who are being mistreated. That's all it is. It's a form of mistreatment. There are all kinds of mistreatment in the world, but that's the greatest form of mistreatment. That's why it's supreme, because it's the greatest form of mistreatment. If you want to look for mistreatment of the people anywhere on the planet, most people are being mistreated based on color. That's what it is. You know, if it's just two people on Earth, I mean, one person might mistreat another person just because the person is jealous or envious or something. Yeah. There's all kinds of ways to mistreat people for all kinds of reasons. But this business about racism is about mistreating people based on color.
On this relief, brothers and sisters, you can see many concepts where they came in, as I said, like scavengers and picked different pieces. On this particular relief, you can see where the Western world, through Judaism, took a piece of a concept of the creation story from. You can see where the Greek philosophers took a concept of Greek philosophy from. And you can also see where Christianity took a concept, European Christianity took a concept from. So let's break it down. Fashioning man on the potter's wheel out of clay. This is where Judaism took a portion of this to make up their Genesis story with the Sanhedrins around 250 BC. from this relief right here of God fashioning man and woman on the potter's wheel. And they took other concepts of Atum from Heliopolis creation story or the city of On to make up their Adam as a man when actually it was Atum the son. Out of clay and called him Jehovah. Notice the god Canoon. And we see European Christianity took from the goddess Isis and Horus and made up the European, again, let me express, the European version of Mary and Jesus. Copied directly from these reliefs right here. So you got Greek philosophy, where he took from Tahuti and called it Hermes Trismegistus. You got the Jehovah Genesis creation story and the Bible, where they took from Canoom, fashioning man on the potter's wheel out of clay. And they turned it into making man out of clay, Adam out of clay. And you also got Christianity right here showing Isis lactating or breastfeeding the holy child Horus, who was born of immaculate conception and virgin birth. Three concepts just from this one relief. You see, all carved in stone. As you can see the line, one dark, one light, showing where this temple was under the water. Nobody could come back and read this. And that's why over here, look against this wall right here, much of it they tried to chisel it all out, but our ancestors wrote endlessly as though one day we would forget our story, one day we would not know who we are, one day that the only thing that would be put on our genetic memory bank would be an alien, a conqueror's story, and our mind, our story would not be told. That's why Justinian in the 6th century AD came in and closed these temples down, because they were copying the concept from African people.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in for this broadcast. And you may have woke up this morning to the news that there was some sort of an attack on the Ohio State University campus. I was reading reports. First, they were talking about it was a gunman. It turned out not to be a gunman. And it turned out to be what is I'm hearing now. I haven't found a second source, so I'm questioning this source. But it was somebody I'm following on Twitter. And they say it was a recent Somalian Muslim immigrant. But again, I do not know this for a fact. I'm not sure, since I started this program, if anybody else has put out the information on the suspect. For all I know, it could be another white person continuing their rampage, as they have been rampaging the most in America, more than anybody else. And not because of any kind of oppression or slavery or anything like that. But that is what I heard. So, but I am not confirming that it was a Somalian immigrant. I'm just giving you some information, because by way of that information is far and few. I just can't find it right now. So, but anyway, I think this is the Associated Press. It could be Reuters. I'm not sure. But you have some students who were there who are describing this. So let me pull up this video, let you give it a quick listen.
Well, I was walking to the library before class, and I was walking down 15th. And the first alert didn't really say anything. It just said, stay safe, run, stay, hide. And then a couple minutes later, we got a report that there was an active shooter on campus. And some people started running up. I was walking down 15th. People started running up 15th. And a couple people were like, don't go to campus. There's an active shooter. But, I mean, obviously kept walking. And then when I walked by college and I saw the police sirens and stuff, I wanted to kind of find out what was going on.
I was on my way to class, and there was a text message that went out saying there was an active shooter, so I took cover. I've been waiting here ever since. All I know is a couple of my friends are stuck inside. Kind of scared, a little frazzled. I wasn't expecting it, especially after Thanksgiving weekend. So I'm just hoping and praying that all my friends are okay and that everybody is safe and nobody else gets hurt.
Okay, I think that's it. I'm pulling up. Give me just a moment. Pulling up this report from ABC News. It was actually a student of Ohio State University that plowed into a crowd of people and then got out and stabbed several people. ABC News has a report from different people who witnessed what was going on. The incident happened this morning just before 10 a.m. So let's go ahead and give this a listen, see what they're saying.
A male suspect drove a vehicle over the curb, struck pedestrians, and used a butcher knife to start cutting pedestrians.
At 9:53, an OSU PD officer called out on the radio that shots were fired. The officer engaged the suspect and shot and killed the suspect.
Our officer was on scene in less than a minute, and he ended the situation less than a minute. He eliminated the threat. The suspect is DOA.
Very fortunate that an OSU PD officer was there and took quick action. The first Buckeye alert went out at 9:55 to alert the campus community that there was an emergency.
There were 9 people transported to the hospitals.
By 11 a.m., the shelter-in-place notification was lifted.
This was done on purpose, to go over the curb and strike pedestrians and then get out and start striking them with a knife. That was on purpose.
All right, let's see if I can glean any other information from this report that is on abcnews.go.com, but they are reporting, it says, and after an Ohio State University student plowed into a crowd at the school Monday and then stabbed several people, witnesses said the chaotic scene didn't really seem real and that a responding police officer who confronted the assailant saved lives today. So he used a butcher knife. Now again, I've seen some disgusting responses to that. I've seen immediately people go into that gang mentality and start talking about gun control and liberals versus conservatives and talking about the fact, oh, he didn't have a gun, he had a knife, and then the people who were hurt needed to call somebody with a gun, and just totally inappropriate, illogical responses. Even though the issue of gun control and Second Amendment rights is a very real issue, that's just ignorant reaction to this attack. Now, I'm interested in learning or knowing why this person did that. Did he leave a note? Did he post a manifesto? Did he leave anything? Because right now, let me see. Oh, it might be in retaliation to the white terrorism and hysteria that has really ramped up in the wake of the selection of Donald Trump. So it appears, as I read more, it says the suspect was identified as Abdul Razak Ali Artin, an OSU student, officials said at a press conference. Officials said Artin was in the car alone when he struck about 7 to 8 pedestrians. The motive is not known at this time, officials said. Sources told ABC News that authorities believe the attacker is of Somali descent and is a legal permanent resident of the U.S. Sources said authorities may have found a Facebook post written by the suspect that expressed grievances over attacks on Muslims. So it makes sense. I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying it's a response to the violence, to the terrorism that we've been seeing launched against non-white people. People perceived as Muslim. I'm recalling the story of this woman with some kind of disease that caused her to go bald. I forget the name of the disease, but she goes hiking to raise awareness. And she goes hiking by herself, but she goes on this hike and she wears a scarf over her head. And so on this hiking trail, this white person, racist suspect, vandalized her car and wrote stuff on there, anti-Muslim rhetoric on. This woman ain't even a Muslim. She's not even a religious person, according to her. She says she practiced the religion of love, and she was ready to forgive that racist suspect. Or she did forgive that racist suspect. Not me. Not me. He should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. But we've been reading about these attacks. They were going on all throughout the Trump campaign, him calling for people to attack people. So don't play innocent like, I'm not saying that these people, individuals who were harmed in this, I'm not saying anything about them personally. He doesn't know that. What type of views that they hold, I don't think he knows. Or if they voted for Donald Trump, or if they was making racist posts on Facebook, or he doesn't know that. So again, I'm not justifying the attack. I'm explaining it. When there are attacks and people feel threatened, there will be counterattacks. So that's what this appears to be, if this information is correct. None of this has been, as they say, corroborated. This is just what we've heard thus far about this Ohio State attack on the campus of Ohio State University. Let me see if there's any other news I want to get to. This is some story that I saw. There's no audio to it. There's some audio, but nobody's really speaking to the camera or doing an interview or anything. But I saw this report about soldiers, and I'm assuming that they're talking about Italian regular army military soldiers have been deployed in central Milan to deal with quote unquote high crime rate. Now, as I was watching this video, which it is posted in btrcommunity.com, I started seeing, as it was panning over the people walking and sitting and talking, and they were mostly non-white people, mostly immigrants. So they have deployed soldiers to central Milan, which is a city in Italy. So let's see how that turns out. By law, they're not supposed to, according to the Constitution, but again, they break their own laws. It don't matter. But by law, U.S. troops, regular army, navy, whatever, not supposed to be deployed here domestically in the United States, although they do be training here in the United States. And I'm not talking about on basis. I'm talking about in conjunction with law enforcement in the JHAM exercises that they have annually and what have you. But they do use the National Guard in that role, as we saw them deployed against the people of Ferguson. Now, I'm just saying that if that proxy racist tool of racism of the system, what's his name, Sheriff, the guy in Wisconsin, David Clark Jr., okay, the things that he has said and written about in some of the major papers here in the United States, calling black people scum and saying they're the enemy and they need to be eradicated. And his name is being floated around as the Homeland Security Chief. Do not think this man would not make a move like that and deploy National Guard to be occupying non-white communities any more than they're already being occupied. They will ramp it up. I can see that. I could be wrong, but I could see that just based off of their rhetoric. Trump is blaming undocumented immigrants for losing the popular vote. There's a guy, he's been a guest on BTR News maybe once or twice. I think he does excellent reporting. His name is H.A. Goodman. He was a Bernie Sanders supporter, provided a lot of information on Hillary Clinton and her evil doings and what have you. So he has a report. He has some commentary on Trump blaming undocumented immigrants for losing the popular vote. You can find H.A. Goodman's channel. Just type in his name, H, the initials H as in hotel, A as in alpha, and Goodman. And you'll be able to find his YouTube channel. Let's go ahead and give it a listen, as you may or may not know that the Green Party and Jill Stein in a couple of states have initiated a ballot recount for the presidential election. People are asking why she's doing that. She has no chance to win. Again, these are people who don't know how the political system works. And so what she has to gain, or the Green Party has to gain, is if I think they get a certain percentage of the national vote, they will then be eligible to get federal campaign matching funds and things like that, that the Democrats and the Republican get. So that's her motive. But now Hillary Clinton's campaign has joined in, and they're still putting out this conspiracy theory about Russian hacking of the elections and what have you. Total nonsense, without merit. They have presented no evidence whatsoever. But now Donald Trump is buying into it. First he was saying, oh, this is ridiculous to say these things, I won fair and square and all of that. But now he's saying that the reason he lost the popular vote is because of a bunch of undocumented immigrants. So, that's an issue that's going on here in North Carolina, as we still don't know who our next governor will be, as the suspected racist Governor Pat McCrory is refusing to concede. And today is the last day, the deadline. They're supposed to announce that. But now he's screaming election fraud and all this and that, when in this state, Republicans control all of the counties, all of the other. There is not a Democrat county that's in control of the election process. So, it's like they're imploding, man. So they're fighting each other. So anyway, let's hear what H.A. Goodman had to say about Donald Trump's claim that all these immigrants voted fraudulently.
My name is H.A. Goodman. I'm an author, columnist, and journalist. And to read my writing and to see my latest CNN appearances and my MSNBC and RT appearances, you can go to hagoodman.com. Donald Trump has blamed undocumented immigrants or illegal immigrants for losing the popular vote to Hillary Clinton. This, of course, makes people like Paul Krugman in the New York Times and the Washington Post go absolutely batshit. But the issue is, number one, there's no evidence for it. So you might say, well, of course, H.A., there's evidence. There's a whole lot of evidence. Yeah, but he didn't present any. That's the problem. So Donald Trump, number one, didn't present any evidence. But number two, this might be a genius marketing ploy by Trump, the same type of thing that allowed him to basically manipulate the media. So if you're getting Paul Krugman upset of the New York Times, and he's tweeting out a storm because Trump tweeted out a storm, then you've done your job, apparently, if you're Donald Trump. Donald Trump is very good at manipulating the media. So what he does is he says something that he knows progressives or liberals or people on the left will just go batty, will just go, you know, crazy about. And he kind of stokes the flames, and he kind of says something that a lot of people would consider outlandish or without evidence. And then he gets the reaction he wants. this actually has played into Trump's rise. So he actually, there's two ways to look at it. One, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He didn't provide evidence. Two, he's an absolute genius. He's getting exactly the reaction he wants from people like Paul Krugman. And this way he can lessen the focus on issues that he doesn't want attention. He doesn't want people to focus upon. I'll read you. Final vote count 2016. Donald Trump's popular vote lost due to illegal immigrants voting in U.S. election, tweets president-elect. This is an Inquisitor article. The controversy over the final vote count for the 2016 election just went nuclear. On Sunday afternoon, the claim was made that Donald Trump's popular vote count will win over Hillary Clinton if millions of illegal immigrants' votes were subtracted from the recount. This was not some random Twitter rumor or fake news website. This was President-elect Trump himself making the bold claim. All right. So that's one article. Then the Washington Post, they went bonkers. Donald Trump's new explanation for losing popular vote, a Twitter-born conspiracy theory. All right. Something has clearly been gnawing at Donald Trump. Sure, he won the electoral vote and therefore the presidency, but he lost the popular vote by 2.2 million votes and counting mostly in California, where Democrat Hillary Clinton won easily, where there are 1.4 million more ballots to tally. Well, that the whole point is you have to win the electoral vote. So Trump won fair and square. The Hillary bots or Hillary Clinton or Democratic Party are holding on to any type of positive news. Winning the popular vote is pretty much irrelevant, especially when most of the popular vote comes from California, and California is the most populous state in the country. So, that being said, Donald Trump provides no evidence for and I'll read you Los Angeles Times. Donald Trump alleges widespread voter fraud in California. There's no evidence to back it up. President-elect Donald Trump not only alleged widespread national voter fraud in a series of messages on Twitter Sunday, but took time in one tweet to target the ballots cast in California as an example of the problem. Trump called the fraud serious in the state, along with Virginia, New Hampshire, and blamed media bias for the lack of coverage the allegations have received. It was the first time the president-elect has specifically voiced concerns about voting in California. And then he tweets, serious voter fraud in Virginia, New Hampshire, and California, so why isn't the media reporting this? Serious bias, big problem.
Okay, I'm going to stop it there. You can catch the rest of this again. You can go to his website, check out his YouTube channel. I also posted this video in btrcommunity.com. Now, a thought just occurred to me right before I stopped that. Why is Donald Trump saying all of this? He's already won the election. The Electoral College, it works the way it works. It's been working that way for hundreds of years, so I'm not one of those, or however long it's been in place, I'm not one of those to say, oh, you know, there's some kind of conspiracy and the person who won the popular vote should win. And no, you don't take that view as a member of a minority group in this country. That's like mob rule. So I do understand the concept of apportioning electoral votes based on who wins the state. So everybody knew the rules going in. You had to win X amount of states to come up with this total, and they plot their strategy and whatnot. Ain't no sense in nobody claiming foul. Now, but why is Donald Trump trying to make an issue? Again, he just feeding that red meat to those who wanted to see him elected, his followers, the Trumpsters, and what have you. And this kind of rhetoric will, again, this is why we need to build a wall. This is why we need to round up millions of people and throw them into private prisons. This is why we need, this is what he's doing. It plays into that. He's not really concerned about undocumented immigrants illegally voting. which has not happened. No, he, and then the Republicans down the road will use this to, guess what, pass voter ID in every state, try to pass some national, federal legislation for voter ID like they have been doing in these different states, like where I live in North Carolina, where the Supreme Court said that they specifically, surgically targeted black people to disenfranchise them here in the state. This is what other racist suspects said about the racist suspects in this state. Scotty didn't say that. That's what the race suspects on the Supreme Court said. So this is why, this is the only logical thing, reason I could see he's saying these things, because other Republicans in these states, just like here in North Carolina, you got the Republican governor who has lost to the Democrat, complaining, talking about election fraud and all that. And now the Republicans who control at the county level, the you know, election boards and all of that, they're saying, no, man, you lost. You lost. You lost. So now we got Donald Trump out there talking about all these undocumented immigrants, and now we got the Wisconsin Election Commission chairman pushing back on Donald Trump. These are Republicans as well. These are Republicans. Let me go ahead and cue that up. Okay, I wasn't really hearing anything, or it wasn't really registering. Let me try it again. Yeah, that audio, you will have to watch it. But he's saying that Donald Trump's full of it, that it's really inappropriate for him to be saying the things that he's saying. Let me see if I can read an excerpt of his comments. It says, Wisconsin Election Commission Chair Mark Thompson appears to respond to Donald Trump's allegations that there were illegal votes counted in the election. During a meeting of the commission approving a timeline for a recount of the state's nearly 3 million votes, Thompson says, saying there were illegal votes counted is really inappropriate. See, because the reason they're saying that now, the Democrats were running it, running the election show in the state of Wisconsin, then they'll be right along with Donald Trump if Donald Trump had lost. So, I mean, this is just more of Donald Trump wasting your time, but also giving you a clue as to what they got planned possibly down the road, giving you a clue. Because it makes no sense for him to be saying these things exist when they don't exist, unless he is just following the Republican model of the past 10 years of claiming that all this fraud that don't exist, so they can pass voter ID laws, so they can disenfranchise quote unquote American citizens. All right, so let me move on. I think I want to go ahead and move on to some of the news related to Fidel Castro passing. I think he passed either Saturday or Sunday. I'm not sure. I did not see the news until Sunday. Maybe Sunday morning is when I saw that news. And, you know, when I've had these conversations. Well, I'm not going to say they're conversations, but I have responded to comments on social media in the past where I have these racist suspects act like all of a sudden they're against racism, and they try to point out to me and say, hey, Castro really mistreats black people in Cuba, and he's racist, and blah, 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 and Cuba is a really bad place for black people, and they're on the bottom of the totem pole, and blah, 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 and all this and that. Nothing but propaganda. Now, I'm no fool. Nobody, racism has not been totally eradicated on the Cuban island. We have Afro-Cubans who have told you about racism. But is there institutional racism? That I don't know. I can't say. But I do know that thousands upon thousands of black people in Cuba turned out to mourn this man. So obviously they have a difference of opinion living in Cuba than these racist suspects running their mouths outside of Cuba who've never even been there. But I never listened to that, because you cannot study the black revolutionary period, black liberation period here in the United States during the late 50s, 60s, and 70s without talking about Cuba. You can't talk about Robert F. Williams from Monroe, North Carolina, used to be the NAACP chapter leader from Monroe, North Carolina. He did not want to participate in those nonviolent demonstrations and letting these racist crackers down here spit on them and while they're trying to integrate lunch counters and all of that. He's like, no, I'm not going to be nonviolent and let somebody spit on me. He ended up getting suspended and what have you, so he formed the Black Guard. Black Guard, Robert Williams, being a Korean War veteran, used his skills along with other veterans in the community in Monroe, North Carolina, and formed the Black Guard, which was an armed self-defense unit, which was also just happened to be chartered by the NRA. People don't know that. So when Robert Williams eventually, you know, was terrorized and they were going to try to frame him for kidnapping this white couple that had wandered into the neighborhood, and something had happened, I just can't recall. It's in the book Negroes with Guns by Robert F. Williams. Look that up. You can also find some YouTube videos of this period. But so he saves them, because you had some black people who wanted some blood. They wanted some blood for the terrorism that they were facing. They wanted to retaliate. They wanted to engage in counter violence. They wanted to lynch these white people. And Robert Williams like, no, we can't do that. We can't be like them. We can't lynch these people. So he brought them into his house, then, you know, tried to calm the people down. Then he snuck them out and got them out. Saved their lives, possibly. Then the police here in North Carolina, state police gonna try to charge him with some kidnapping and stuff. And he know he wasn't gonna get no justice. So him and his wife and family fled to Cuba, where he was given political asylum. Robert Williams and his wife Mabel Williams, while in Cuba, still remained in touch with the black masses suffering racial oppression here in the United States. And the way they were able to do that was by called Radio Free Dixie. I think it was Radio Free Dixie or Free Dixie Radio, something like that. I just can't recall right now. But Castro, Mr. Williams, the Williamses, had an idea. Hey, can we start a radio station and broadcast to our people in the United States and provide them with music and news and analysis of what's going on in the United States and the world? So him and his wife argued for this, and you had some of the Cubans who were against it, because they didn't want to focus on racism. They were like, you know, you don't want to separate the white working class from the black working class, and not understanding the dynamics of racism here in the United States. So they didn't want, you know, any kind of racial identity movement. They didn't want to support anything like that. But Fidel Castro, he took it to Castro, and Castro overruled everybody else, and Radio Free Dixie was born. He gave them the radio station, and they broadcast for years into mostly the southern United States, commenting on the different uprisings that was going on, and again providing you with news and information and music like you hear on Black Talk Radio Network. Although Malcolm X was the main inspiration for the creation of Black Talk Media Project, Robert Williams also was an inspiration, him and his wife as well, in understanding the importance of black media, in understanding that we much must engage in counter propaganda. So without Fidel Castro, we would have never ever heard, I can't say never ever, but it would have been unlikely that we would have ever heard from Robert Williams and his wife Mabel again. So I am grateful, very, very grateful to Fidel Castro and the people that he has helped, that are from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. I am forever grateful to him. I'm forever grateful to him giving asylum to black freedom fighters and freedom fighters in general, fleeing the racist oppression and terrorism, the targeted assassinations of COINTELPRO. This is all common knowledge. I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. Federal government was targeting and assassinating black leaders. So they want to talk about him and the people he gave asylum to, but they just want to act like the stuff that USA Inc. and the state police and the city police and the prosecutors and the system of racism was doing to these people. They want to ignore all of that. This is why it's important to read. This is why it's important to study history. This is why it's important to seek out alternative sources of media. So that then when somebody come at you and talk about how Fidel Castro was a racist and how black people are mistreated in Cuba, then you can respond to them with some facts, some research knowledge. How dare anyone here behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. try to talk about racism going on anywhere else on the planet when they the main source of it all? This is ground zero for the global system of racism. Ground zero. Nobody puts black people into slavery in 2016 than United States. No one, not another Cuba don't even come close to having a prison population of the United. Matter of fact, China don't even come close. You got one state, Louisiana. Again, check out the Thibodeau Massacre podcast with Mr. John, author and reporter John DeSantis. But you got Louisiana by itself has 7 times the prison population of China, and China is a communist country with 1 billion people. Who's really free and who's not on this planet? It appears to me, based off of evidence, not propaganda, not talking points, but based off the evidence, that people in Cuba are more free than people in the United States. And I don't see how anybody can deny that. You can't. Again, has Cuba totally eradicated racism? No, you can't eradicate racism till you eradicate all the racists. And we know that there are codified racists in Cuba. We know that. But let's not act like they have a rampant problem with institutional racism like we see here in the United States. We got racism deniers, and now we got a bunch of poor crackers coming up talking about they the victims of racism and talking about they oppression because they can't find a job because the wealthy white race is in control of the global system. Don't care if they have a job when they can export these jobs overseas and increase their profits. They don't care about you pole crackers. But they are very good at manipulating you. So, Malcolm X, when Fidel Castro came here for United Nations meeting in the 1960s, and he was staying at one of them hotels where no Negroes were allowed, except for if you're going to be carrying somebody's luggage up to their room or changing the sheets and cleaning the toilets. And he wouldn't stay there. But that's where they was going to have him stay. He wouldn't stay there. And he went to a black hotel in Harlem. And that's where you get the photos from his iconic meeting with Malcolm X. Now, I'm just talking about the United States and the impact this man has had on the black liberation struggle, the black freedom struggle. But that's just the United States. Many of those African nations, I'm not going to say they owe their independence, because really many of them aren't really independent. They're still under, if not national colonialism, corporate colonialism. But during the independence, African independence movements of different nations in Africa during the 50s, during the 60s, they got assistance militarily from who? From Castro, from Cuba. He sent troops. He sent experts, military experts. You had people who volunteered, Cubans who volunteered to go to Africa and fight for Africans' independence. We can't deny none of this. This is facts. You can ignore it. You can distort it. You can try to take it out of context. But these are facts. This is why the people of South Africa told the USA Inc. and everybody else to kiss their black behinds when it came to welcoming Castro to their country. This happened over, past couple of years ago. I can't even remember the occasion. I just remember reporting on the story. And they were criticizing the South Africans, and they was like, wait a minute, hold up. Cuba was supporting us, African independence, was against the apartheid racist regime of South Africa, while Israel was supporting the racism, and the United States was supporting the racist regime. So how dare you try to point some finger at Cuba and talking about some an oppressive regime violating people's human rights? Human rights are violated daily here in the United States. If it was not for these many occurrences of injustices, I wouldn't have no need to even create the Black Talk Media Project and the Black Talk Radio Network. I wouldn't need to come on these airwaves as much as I do and report on these stories and speak on these stories. So this one person said, ask some Afro-Cubans about Castro. So I did find some video clips of Cuban people, again, thousands of them mourning this man. But here are some Afro-Cubans who were well known in the country speaking out on him. So hope that he ain't speaking Spanish. Let me pull it up on YouTube. This is a Reuters video. It's going to play this ad first, but it's just a minute long. All right, let's give it a listen.
Muy afectada por la pérdida. Muy afectada, pero esa es la realidad. Tiene que ser y morir. Hubiéramos querido que estuviera más tiempo, pero no fue así. Bueno, ya. Me tocó. Y es fuerte la pérdida. Muy fuerte, muy fuerte.
¿Aquí?
Es más reciente.
Sí, esto fue después, en el 95, cuando yo...
A Fidel lo voy a recordar con mucho cariño, con mucho amor. Él no está físicamente, pero lo vuelvo a repetir, está en el corazón de todo el pueblo cubano y de muchos países de Latinoamérica, de Europa, de Asia, de África, en el mundo entero. Fidel será recordado para toda la historia.
Okay, been having some issues with audio from YouTube today. I hope y'all were able to hear that one particular Afro-Cuban woman speaking out on how he'll be missed. And so his funeral will be held December the 4th. Again, as was mentioned during that clip, he'll be remembered all over the planet. Because Cuba, under Castro's leadership, assisted in many independence movements around the planet. Now, you hear this garbage about USA Inc. spreading democracy and all that kind of crap. Remember, George Bush kind of made that popular, spreading democracy by the barrel of a gun or whatnot. Well, you know what? Cuba, although it's a communist country, that's what they were actually engaged in. Many other countries that they assisted, South Africa did not become a communist country. Some of the other countries, Algiers, I think it was Algiers, but some of the other countries that were fighting against their European colonial masters to get their own independence and right to self-determination, they did not turn into communist countries. So he wasn't spreading communism. He was spreading freedom of choice. Some people choose to believe to live under a socialist system or a communist system. I'm not one into all of these different labels, but I do know this: homelessness is eradicated in Cuba. I heard this racist suspect say to me in the comments, talking about they got Afro-Cubans get the worst housing. Well, guess what? The housing is falling apart because of the United States terrorist blockade, economic blockade of the country. But number two, they ain't homeless. Can you say that about people in this country, where one out of eight veterans, I believe, are homeless or committing suicide? You got entire families living in shelters, under bridges, in camps here in America. Cuba has some of the highest literacy rates in the world. People that are oppressing you don't want you to be able to read. They don't want you to be able to comprehend what you read. They want you to be able to repeat words back to them, but they don't want you to understand what you're reading. I think they have something like anywhere from 94 to 96% illiteracy. Can you say that about the United States? Are you investing in your children's education like Cuba has been investing in theirs? Where all the citizens can get a higher education, encouraged to get a higher education, and is paid for by the state. Nobody going in debt in Cuba to become a doctor. In fact, even communities here in the United States, they have a program, because I've reported on it. I've had representatives come on and tell us about the student program for students in poor communities here in the United States can get into this program and go to school to Cuba to become a medical doctor. And they're world renowned for their medical breakthroughs. They eradicated lung cancer, even developed a vaccine for it. Then to me, that doesn't sound like a brutal dictator. See, a brutal dictator would just be taking all the money and spending it on himself, and his family and his cronies. He would not be investing that money in the education of his people. He would not be investing that money in their social upliftment. But any problems that they are having can directly be tied to the racist response to the Cuban Revolution. The 50-plus year economic boycott. Oh, they was cool with Cuba when Batista was in there and he was killing, through the police, thousands of people just disappeared, murdered by the evil Batista regime, who allowed the mob come down there, set up shop. This was the playground of the rich and the wealthy, mostly white people going down there, exploiting the people, hanging out in brothels and gambling and all that kind of vice going on. They didn't have a problem with the U.S. corporations going down there, exploiting the Cuban worker, paying them slave wages, no benefits. No, they didn't have a problem with it, with that kind of oppression and brutality, and a country that was practicing racism. To be classified as white under the Batista regime, all you had to be was light-skinned with straight hair. And you were considered to be white. And they lived at the top of the food chain in Cuba. That is where you now find the descendants, if any of them are still alive, their parents still alive, in Miami. Down there partying and celebrating at the death of this man, because they're sick people. They're sick, disgusting people. Racists. Terrorists. Some of them played a role in the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Mad because he wouldn't support the Bay of Pigs, with these racists trying to invade Cuba with the help of the United States and corporations to take the island over so that they can again turn it into white supremacist fantasy island. So, let's see. Let me take a station identification break. If you have a question or comment, you can certainly chime in. Agreement is not necessary. Not looking for that. The telephone number is 866-510-9025. You can also get in via the web at uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. When I come back on the other side, I want to share this article with you of Colin Kaepernick being interviewed by a reporter in Miami. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. And indeed, I am broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc.
7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Oh.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
And welcome back. Let's pull up this article that I shared on btrcommunity.com. Also shared it to some of the other social media networks out there. You may follow us on Facebook at Black Talk Radio Network or Twitter at Black Talk Radio. Also have a Tumblr account. Colin Kaepernick debates the merits of Fidel Castro with a Miami reporter. So this is probably a descendant of one of them racist Cuban terrorists living down there. Let me see. This is coming to you from mercurynews.com. I don't believe there's any audio to this. I'm just trying to let it load up. This was published actually 4 days ago by Cam Inman. I have no idea who that is. Don't have a picture either. Let me see. Now it's about to hit me up with an ad. Let me close that. All right, now let's get to the article. Colin Kaepernick's strive for social equality led to a debate about Fidel Castro during a heated conference call Wednesday with a Miami-based reporter. Again, I don't know if this was a heated, who was heated. I don't know. I wasn't on the call. I ain't heard the call. Okay. For all I know, Kaepernick could have been perfectly calm while this reporter was yelling and screaming. So, and then they'll try to make it seem like it was both of them. Again, you had to be careful when you reading anything from corporate media. Kaepernick on the call to preview the 49ers game Sunday at the Miami Dolphins praised Cuba's literacy rate and education system under Castro while again condemning what he believes is oppression throughout America. Again, this is why I say, again, words are important. See, I went in on CEO Obama for this before in the past and many other people. See, they won't, when you say something like that, while again condemning what he believes is oppression, it ain't what Colin Kaepernick believes. It's what we see. It's what we can feel. It's what we can taste. We can taste the oppression. It's that thick. All right? It's like too many people, somebody put too much white flour in the gravy and it's just too thick. That's how thick racism and oppression is here in the United States. Nobody believe we're being oppressed. We know we're being oppressed, and you know it too, Mr. Racist Reporter. I mean, it really gets under my skin because they're insulting you. This is all in your mind. This isn't happening. You live in the best place in the world. If you don't like it, leave it, and all that garbage believes oppression is happening. If anybody is under the illusion about their oppression, it's these white males. And to a certain extent, they are being oppressed, but they ain't being oppressed by non-white people. They're being gunned down by cops. They're being sent off to die in these foreign wars as cannon fodder by white people, not by us, not by our community. That's why their birth rate is now below their death rate. Violence. They just can't stop, won't stop, addicted to it. Something is going on there. Some kind of psychopathy is going on. So this is how it went. Kaepernick: I wore a Malcolm X shirt. I'm a believer in Malcolm X and his ideology and what he talks about and believes in as far as fighting oppression. Then he gets interrupted. Are you a believer in Fidel Castro, who was on that shirt? Kaepernick: if you let me finish, please. The fact that he met with Fidel, to me, speaks to his open mind to be willing to hear different aspects of people's views and ultimately being able to create his own views as far as the best way to approach different situations in different cultures. Reporter: so it's good to have an open mind about Fidel Castro and his oppression? Kaepernick: I'm not talking about Fidel Castro and his oppression. I'm talking about Malcolm X and what he's done for people. Reporter, I realize what I'm talking about is uncomfortable. Kaepernick, one thing that Fidel Castro did do is they have the highest literacy rate because they invest more in their education system than they do in their prison system, which we do not do here, even though we're fully capable of doing that. Here's the racist suspect reporter. He also did something we do not do here. He broke up families. He took over a country without any justice and without any election. Look, before I read Kaepernick's response, again, this is why it's important to read as much as you can, especially if you're going to be talking about politics, global events, racism, white supremacy, any of these isms, socialism, communism, all of the history. It's important to know. Now, he talking about Castro didn't come to power with an election or anything. Neither did Batista. Neither did Batista. Batista pulled a military coup. That's how he came to power. With the assistance, well, I can't say for sure. I can't recall right now. So let me not put this out there as a fact. I don't know if the United States, through its intelligence agencies, CIA, and what have you, assisted the Batista regime to overthrow the, I forget the name of the president before him. So I don't know. But I certainly know they had no problem embracing him, just like Hillary Clinton did when those right wingers overthrew, pulled a military coup and overthrew Honduras, and their president was elected. And what did Hillary Clinton do in the Obama administration? USA Inc. and you, American citizen, do. You ain't have a problem with it. In fact, Hillary Clinton said Honduras is now open for business. So again, these people rely on you being ignorant about these things. He broke up families. How did he break up families? Did nobody make y'all, your racist mama and daddy leave Cuba? They could have stayed. No, but they were benefiting from the racist Batista regime, and people knew them probably, and they were afraid that people were going to seek them out and retaliate against them for what they did to people. That's why they down there in Miami now. They're a bunch of cowards, didn't want to be held accountable for their crimes against humanity in support of the evil Batista regime. So this is Kaepernick's response. Oh, we do break up families here. That's what mass incarceration is. That was the foundation of slavery. So our country has been based on that, as well as the genocide of Native Americans. Here's the ignorant reporter. Are you equating the breaking up of Cuban families with people going to jail in the United States of America? So again, this man ain't ignorant. I don't think this reporter is ignorant. He's a racist. He doesn't care about the suffering or the oppression of anybody here behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. He just want to try to focus on this imagined oppression in Cuba. He says, Kaepernick says, I'm equating the breaking up with families with the breaking up of families. Here's the ignorant report. I'm not going to call him ignorant. He, you know, because I think we do a disservice to these racists when we say it's all based on ignorance. This man has been to college. I hope he knows exactly what he's doing. So, yeah. Way to go, Colin Kaepernick. Way to go. Way to stand your ground in a stand your ground state. These crackers, man, I tell you, man. Wow. All right, so let me see. Is there anything else that I wanted to share? That's pretty much it that I have for you. Oh, I did mention, I forgot to mention about Zimbabwe's new banknote. Again, This is black people suffering over under the system of racism in the people activity area economics ever since he started his land reclamation to take the land back and give it to his rightful owners. The global financial system has been trying to cause them to collapse and cause all this economic hardship on the people, trying to get them to rise up and overthrow their government. See how they do. That's what the whole embargo on Cuba is about. It ain't about punishing Castro. Never was about punishing him. It is about punishing the people for daring to rise up against racism. So, same thing going on in Cuba. Zimbabwe right now. Let me see if I can pull up this. Well, actually, I am at the end of the broadcast. I do have to make way for Tando Radio Show. Since I'm engineering his program, I do need to change out a couple of streams. So I'm going to get ready to go ahead and end the broadcast. But I just want the people to know in Cuba that I stand in solidarity with you all, and that I send my condolences to you and to the Castro family. This man has made an undeniable mark on black history, global black history, not just the black liberation struggle here in the United States, but the struggle for black independence and self-determination in Africa and other South American nations, countering these racist thieves here in USA Inc. So that's my program. Viva la Revolucion. Recognize the fact that you live behind enemy lines if you do live here in the United States, although the entire planet is a battlefield. Here in the United States, they practice a particularly nasty form of racism, and they've been practicing it for quite some time, hundreds of years, and it's slavery. Race-based slavery is what they're practicing. Sure, they'll lock up some poor white people. They'll lock up a bunch of Mexicans and other immigrants, and what, but they ain't targeting nobody like they targeting us. But again, I, as an abolitionist, advocate for the freedom of all people, regardless of classification. I'll be glad when we can get rid of classifications, except for just male and female. But if you live behind these enemy lines, you need to be doing everything in your power to be prepared for what may come, but also preparing, strategizing, countering, coming up with ways to overthrow this racist system, because it's not going to end itself. It's not going to do that. And we can't sit around waiting on the racists to kill themselves either, as they're doing with their global wars. That might take a couple of more decades for them to kill themselves through global war. So I would like to see, by the time my grandson becomes a teenager, which won't be long, for us to have gotten rid of this corporation called USA Inc. and establish a real republic based on liberty, freedom, and justice for all. Peace and blessings.